This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This is Matt Zeman, author of Psychedelics for Everyone and Beyond the Trip. You are listening to the Road to Rediscovery podcast with Aubrey Johnson. Enjoy.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on the Road to Rediscovery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. My special guest has worked in graphic design for 25 years. Then guess what? I'm sure you can guess, COVID hit. He leveraged his COVID layoff to rethink and realign with his true purpose. That resulted in him becoming the creator and founder of the Campfire Gentleman Community, a personal development space designed to spark connection, clarity, and growth in the everyday lives of husbands and fathers. Here he shares practical tools and reflections for men wishing to lead well at home, live intentionally, and build a life that matters. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Mr. Clay Garrett to the show. Clay, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here, sir.
That's good to be here. Thanks for the intro.
Oh, no, absolutely. Thank you. We're excited to unpack this and just learn some great insights that men, quite frankly, a lot of men struggling with, you know, how to be a significant patriarch to their family, whether it's a family and extended family, father, husband, and all those figures, for their house, right? And so, to me, that's very important. Family's a team. Family's a unit, and I think all pieces must be working and functional, right, for this to be truly cohesive. So, Garrett, wanted to ask you first off. Let's start off with the time you had during the COVID layoff, okay? I'm sure there were a lot of maybe epiphanies or discoveries that you have learned or come onto you during that time. What was the pivotal moment within that layoff, within that furlough, where you started to gravitate towards community building of this niche you know, men to be fathers, effective husbands, and so forth?
Well, it was kind of like looking back on it. Yeah. And so when COVID hit, I got laid off, you know, like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it hadn't actually kind of taken hold in the United States yet. And so
yeah,
I worked in an industry that was affected by what was going on in China. And so I got laid off a little earlier than like COVID actually hit.
I see.
And yeah. So there was this time frame. It was about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Where it was just business as usual. And I thought, I'm going to get, like, actually went down, did the usual things, you know, I filed for unemployment.
Right.
And the person, the unemployment representative, you know, they gave a big spiel. And at the end, they give you it'll be 2 weeks to a month before you get your first, you know, unemployment check.
Right.
And I told her, I remember vividly, I said, I just laughed and said, I'll have a job by then. I don't even need this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, then, like I said, within 2 weeks, COVID hit. And, you know, just and at that point, and one thing I realized in the moment that this is going to be a long-term thing. Like, it was clearly I have lots of family members involved in schools. And so it was just like they were letting me know, look, this is going to get shut down.
Yeah.
The kids are going to be home. This is going to be a long-term thing. And so I recognized in the moment that this could be a chance for me to do something a little different. And so I just thought, what kind of person gets 6 weeks? I mean, 6 months, 8 months, whatever, you know, it turned out to be a year actually.
Yeah.
Like of just with your family, with nothing to do. And you sort of like make your own purpose for a year. You know, you make your own schedule. Yeah. If it's a project's important to you, you get to make time for it now. And
that's right.
And so like in the moment I realized all of that. And so I was doing things like, you know, I was having sort of, you know, slow mornings hanging out with my wife,
right.
Eating breakfast, having coffee over outside the garden, you know, this sort of stuff, you know, and playing video games with my kids and, all you know, I was my dad has a wood shop, mm-hmm. So he had just retired, and so I got to spend all this time with my dad as he, you know, helping him do woodworking. I sort of reconnected with my brother, really not re as much connected really with my brother in a way I never had before, and so we started hanging out. We became instead of brothers, really became friends also at that point. And so as COVID eventually wound down, I got another job, and I told the potential, you know, it basically before the first interview, I told them, I sent them an email and said, hey, listen, I'm not going to take this. It doesn't say in the job description, this is part of the job, but I'm not taking this job unless there's a lot of flexibility. I'd prefer a hybrid situation, if not
right
out remote position. Mm-hmm. They were amenable to all that. And because I was just like, look, I've built this life that is important to me in a way that I didn't know was possible before. And I'm not going to give that up.
Right. Right.
So that is sort of the turning point for me personally was, you know, this realization that this life that I had the opportunity to build that I never would have even realized was possible if COVID wouldn't have just stopped me in my tracks.
Right.
I can't give this up. It's too important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense, man. I mean, you know, sometimes there's hidden blessings mm-hmm. in something that just seems so devastating. You know, I mean, a global shutdown from a pandemic is devastating, but there's always that silver lining. There's always some sort of hidden blessing where it gives us an opportunity to rediscover the connection with our kids, rediscover, you know, just sobering, beautiful mornings with coffee, with your spouse, you know, and that is just absolutely incredible. And not only is it something you rediscover during such a devastating time, it's something that moving forward, to your point, that you are intentional on protecting, mm-hmm. right? That's really, really, to me, that's really something that you hold near and dear, that you refuse to be denied in continuing. You want to sustain that, right? And that sustains the quality of life for everyone under the roof. You were in a unique position based on your role in graphic design, it sounds like, where you had sort of a head start from a supply chain or a supply and demand standpoint. You felt the impacts early, so you got laid off early. While that may seem devastating, it is, I mean, but you got a head start in trying to realign and rediscover your true purpose and what you truly, you know, want to do, what really matters. That's extraordinary for sure, Clay. And with that, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned connecting with your father, doing, you know, working in this wood shop, connecting with your brother. Now you guys are, you know, friends and brothers, you know, you did connections as a spouse, a husband, as a father. I mean, just all of those. And these are productive things to do when you're on such a lockdown, right? Wanted to know, you know, because one thing I know as a husband and father, you know, we're usually called upon to be present and engaging in our time with our spouses, with our children, you know. Yet at the same time, you know, we have a responsibility to be fiercely protective and to provide as a provider, right? So does, and I want to talk about Campfire Gentleman from this springboard here. Does Campfire Gentleman lend itself to these types of conversations?
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of it. That's kind of what started is, after all of this, I'd actually left that job that I got after COVID.
Yeah.
And to start my own graphic design business.
Nice.
And, I'm sure like a lot of men, I have like these bouts of, waking up at some odd hour of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll last a week or two and then, you know, then it'll go away for a while. And so one of these nights I was up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm in the kitchen and my computer was in the dining room next to the kitchen. And so I just see the light sort of glowing from the screen.
Yeah.
And I go in there and sit down at it and just get this idea that I'm just going to open a Google Doc and just write down everything that I can think of for a little while and see what comes out. And maybe if I can get it off my mind and get it onto paper, you know, maybe that'll help me sleep.
Right.
And so that's what I did. For about 10 minutes, I just wrote, you know, as much as I could think of. And afterwards I was just sort of looking over it and there was a line in there that said, I like graphic design, but I've been doing it for, you know, almost 25 years at this point.
Yeah.
And I would really like to do something that helped people. Mm-hmm. And that sort of just sparked this idea of like, what does that even mean? Like what can I do to help people? What does helping people even look like for me? You know? And so I just, like I said, it was really exciting. And so I went to sleep, woke up the next morning, like super excited to just kind of think and reflect on what all that meant and what I could do going forward. And it just sort of morphed that. I know that was the kids just happened to be home from school. So it was around Thanksgiving break.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just really put a lot of thought and effort and exploration into that really all the way through until early and probably January. And in January, it started to take shape as a newsletter.
Okay.
Because I wanted to talk about these things, like family and purpose and health and growth and simplicity, because that's the kind of stuff it was important to me.
Right.
And so it's like I can talk about these in a newsletter. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of turned into, actually, what really sort of set me on the newsletter path was I liked reading newsletters, but none of them were exactly what I was looking for.
Right. Right.
They were very, if they weren't specifically business oriented, they were masquerading as something else, but they were really business oriented.
Underneath. Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, there's no, like, there's all these newsletters that hit pieces of what I like, mm-hmm. and what I want to talk about and what I want to read about, but nothing that just hits all of it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll make the newsletter that I want to read, and I'll just, you know, hope there's someone else out there that's interested in these same things, because somebody's reading these books other than me, and, you know, we're reading, you know, watching these podcasts and all this sort of stuff. And so,
right.
And so that's what happened. I started the newsletter. I had these themes that were important to me, and how, and men responded, like, surprisingly, like, actually I launched it in May.
Okay.
But I did a month of buildup before that, because I was like, this is going to be a tree falling in the woods. Like, no one's going to pay any attention to this.
Right. Right.
And, I think 50 guys got the first newsletter, and I was just like, stunned that there was that many guys interested, and it just keeps on building.
Man, that's beautiful. You know, from humble beginnings, right. Mm-hmm. And it's a manifestation of, middle of the night thoughts, after dark thoughts, you know, that you happen to capture, and wisely happen to capture, you know, so that you can hold on to that and build from that even during the waking hours. Man, that is, that's absolutely tremendous. And to see the growth that you're having, and having men respond is wonderful. Man, I mean, what are some of the common struggles or challenges that men may come up with or talk about, or that you may talk about on the newsletter?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing, the email I get, or it sometimes it's outright said in the emails that I get.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And a lot of times it's subtext, but these men do not feel like anyone is listening to them.
I got you. Okay.
And that is at least half the emails I get. You can, like I said, it's either outright or you can read into it that they don't feel like, whether it's like both actually personally or in sort of a societal, you know, scope, that no one really is listening to them and cares what they have to say, cares about the struggles they're going through.
Mm.
And so obviously, like, these men feel like they're alone, but these, so many men are sending me these emails that they aren't alone. They're all feeling this way. And my original intention was not to create a community where like that, but it's clear, like, it's becoming that, you know, that is what is these men are looking for. Is I'll reply to their email, and they're just so happy. Like, all the time they'll say, thank you for actually listening to me, you know, because a lot of times they'll tell me some things going on in their lives, and I always feel inadequate to actually give advice to a situation that, you know, that seems so much more dire than what I've been through in my life. And so a lot of times I'll just say, man, it's amazing that you've made it through that, and you still, you know, have your such a good attitude, or, you know, you're still trying to grow and you're still trying to learn with all that happening in your life. And
right.
Just the fact that I listened and responded, I get a lot out of that, but clearly they do too.
Yeah, no, they certainly do. It's so well received, you know, them receiving the fact that you're listening, you're a soundboard, you know, and are they looking for answers? Probably not. I mean, you know, it's, a lot of people aren't looking for answers. They just want to be heard. They want to be understood, you know, and you are not only listening to them, but you're empathizing with them. You're practicing empathy, and it's genuine, because if it's not genuine, it could be picked up in a big way. So these men are feeling your empathy and thoughtfulness in responding, you know, to them, and they're feeling heard. So, Clay, I have to commend you for just, you know, the work that you're doing. And there's a lot of work in putting together newsletters. I know I've put together newsletters in the past. Okay. But equally or more, it takes more work to respond authentically, to feel and connect with these men, with the listeners, with the readers of your newsletter. It's very important, and it takes a lot of work in responding to them. And yeah, you're doing it, man. You're doing it. And so, at this point here, Clay, I want to talk about, your five pillars to live by. And I'm sure this is discussed in your newsletters, as well as conversations that you may have with some of these men who respond to your newsletters. Unpack those five pillars for us.
Sure. Family, purpose, growth, health, and simplicity. And then they're in, at least to me, they're in the order of importance. Like I always, like for me personally, and for the men that read the newsletter, family is the thing that gives the rest of the things, the rest of the pillars, like meaning.
Yes.
And so your first, you know, you find purpose through your family, and you grow for your family, you stay healthy for your family. And
that's right.
You know, you cut out the noise of life so you can focus on your family. And so there was originally, I joke, like originally I had like 15 or 20 pillars.
Oh, really?
And I had this like pyramid shape, and it was super complicated. And I was like, no one's going to want to read this. This is, and I just, as I boiled it down, I realized, oh, this is, you know, all of this is a family issue. All of this is a purpose issue. And so when I got down to it, I was left with those five. And, you know, I write a lot about, I write a lot about family, purpose, and growth.
Yeah.
And I don't write, and I always see, like, I don't write as much. I'm, to be perfectly honest, I'm a little afraid about prescriptive health.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Telling people, you know, what they should eat or how they should exercise or things like that. And so a lot of times my health is in sort of the responsibility to your family.
Mm, okay.
So how you owe your family, you know, the best health you can. And I always think of simplicity as like a filter to run all the other pillars through. So are things getting in the way of your family and your purpose and your health and your growth? And can you simplify that so that you can focus better on those things? And so that's a lot of what I do with the simplicity part, is, like I said, filter things through it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because you don't want to overcomplicate what it takes or what it looks like to be healthy or to get healthy. Mm-hmm. Don't want to overcomplicate, you know, your role in the family pillar. Keeping things simple. I think simplicity was something we were brought back to as a true reminder when the pandemic struck. Mm-hmm. Right, we're at home. Okay, it's us, mm-hmm. the family, with four walls. You know, so we go back to a simpler time where. We can't just pick up and go out anywhere we want. Not right now, you know? So, you know, a lot of simpler things you do, like the video games with your mm-hmm. son and the coffee with your wife and you know, and hanging out in the wood shop with your father and so forth. So, yeah, I think simplicity, where all the other pillars filter through, makes sense. So, what type of example of a man in the role that we play as patriarch in the home, do or must we as men project that women expect of us, that our spouses expect of us?
I always think, at least personally, I always have this idea that, like, to my family and just to sort of society and large, my friends, just everything, yeah, that part of my role as a man is just to make everything else easier for other people. And so, for instance, I feel like it's my job to make it easier for my wife to come to me if she has an issue and we talk about it.
Right.
And if my son or daughter is struggling at school, like, it's my job to make it easy for us to have that conversation.
Right.
And, if a buddy wants to talk to me about the problem he's struggling with, I think, yeah, you know, if it's difficult to talk to me, I feel like I haven't done my job.
I see. So we as men don't want to put on a facade that we're not or that we're okay, mm-hmm, during a time when we're not okay.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. No, I understand. I understand. That's a paradigm shift, I think, from the past maybe 40 or 50 years where, you know, the patriarch, the husband, the father, you know, whether he was fine or not, had to be very stoic in that, you know, I'm doing great. Don't worry about me. Kids, stick to the books, stick to those grades. Wife, yep, we'll continue to raise this family, you know, and I'll provide, and sick or not, I'm working, I'm providing, paying the bills. And just to have the facade of everything's being all right when really underneath we're not, you know, and these days, I think there's a shift to where we're invited to have the space to say we're not okay. Is that accurate?
Well, I absolutely. And I think also, right, we have this tendency to look back at previous generations,
yeah,
and assume that they were doing it wrong instead of thinking they were doing what was necessary. And right, so in some ways, I think the way, you know, the stereotypical way the man was, you know, whenever the 50s or 40s, whatever, like,
right,
there was some like utility in that that just doesn't exist anymore. So there's no reason necessarily to be that way. And so does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So if I can just maybe say the inverse of that, mm-hmm, just to make sure I'm tracking you. If that's the case, then we can't say that our parents and grandparents and great grandparents did it right or wrong. They did what was needed or necessary for the time.
Yes, that's absolutely how I feel for the most part. Like,
okay,
the world was just, yeah. I mean, if you hope that the world gets easier for everyone every generation.
That's right. That's right.
And so to look back at your grandfather and be like, well, you know, he should have been more emotionally available. It's like, well, I mean, my grandfather was a mechanic and then he worked on a farm from sun up to sundown. Like, there just wasn't, right, a lot of room. There wasn't a lot of free time. There wasn't a lot of room to sit around. And
right,
it was much more, I'm sure, I have no doubt, it was much more tired than I was on a regular basis. You know,
I'm sure. And food had to get put on the table, you know?
And so we have a different opportunity now there's never been, people in general have never had more free time, which of course means men have never had more free time.
Right.
And so there's that time. Hopefully most men aren't as exhausted as previous generations. And so they have the bandwidth to be emotionally available for their children and for their wives and even friends, you know? I kind of think of it like that. It was necessary before. It's not as necessary now. And so it makes sense to be more emotionally available and
right,
focused on in everything. I mean, you can invest more in your relationships altogether because you just have more bandwidth. Most people do now, I feel like, than
right these days than mm-hmm, previous generations. Right. Yeah, yeah. And it's the choice that we make of what we do with that time, that, you know, to where we want to be as productive as possible in cultivating those relationships, being emotionally available. To your point, you know, and leverage that bandwidth, which, you know, we're blessed to have today. Mm-hmm. Our ancestors in their time, you know, may not have had that. So, if we use that to express that and be emotionally available, I think that moves the family in the right direction. And if every man does their part, it moves the world in a better direction, I would think. We must do what's necessary to keep working on ourselves, mm-hmm. right? And I know this sounds cliche, but the latest buzzwords these days, I think, are show up, right? Mm-hmm. To show up for our family, show up to our spouse, show up for our work, for our jobs and careers, you know? None of that's possible if we don't work on ourselves. And so, you know, we talked about that as a spouse. Now I want to ask you as a father, you know, I think it's important for our children to know, I think personally, and I, as a father, I've even pushed this, you know, to know that we need to let our children know that, you know, we don't always get it right. We make mistakes too. And, you know, it's equally important that they know that we work on making ourselves better each day. You know, I mean, after all, we're the leading example for them, right? As an adult. So tell us about how important it is in the overall cohesiveness of a family under one roof for your children to know that, you know, you're a work in progress just like they are. I mean, you're grown, they're growing up. It's pretty obvious they're growing up. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done on them. That's your job as a parent to guide them. But at the same time, even though you're grown, they must know that you're continuously working on yourself to become a better person.
Yeah, that's, I've said sorry to my kids more than I ever thought I would before I became a dad, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I regularly tell them I'm sorry. I screwed that up. You know, that's, I thought this would work and it didn't, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. just lots of, you know, yeah. And the same thing, they'll say, hey, why did mom do this? And I'd be like, well, right. 'Cause mom doesn't know everything. She's learning stuff just like you. You know? Yeah. And so she didn't mess up on purpose. She thought that would work. Right. And just like kids, parents are wrong. And so, yeah, so I've said sorry to my kids a lot. I tell them I'm learning. They, you know, and simple as they see me reading regularly, and yeah. And I have a planner journal thing that they see me writing in and reflect.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You know, I tell them I'm writing my day. I tell them how, you know, how I felt about whatever happened, you know, this event during the day. And, we focus a lot. One thing I talk about with Campfire Gentlemen was actually a newsletter I wrote maybe last month. And it was about how you need to let go of this idea that anything should be easy and just be pleasantly surprised when it is.
I like that. Yes.
And a lot of damage is done with the expectation that something should have been easy. And when it's not, you get frustrated. But if you don't have that expectation to start with, you never get, I'm sure you still get, but you don't get as annoyed or frustrated or angry.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And so like, they'll come home, the kids come up with homework and they'll be like, I thought this was only going to take 30 minutes and they're an hour into it. And I'm like, well, that's not, that shouldn't have been your attitude to start with. You need to. Right. And so that's a lot of, you know, learning to learn, if that makes, you know, teaching them how to learn, if that makes sense. Yeah.
It's, yeah, no, it does. And you've, you made a good point on the virtue of mindset and perspective, right? So, I mean, yeah, just teaching them that, hey, have a certain mindset when you're going into something and you know, relieve yourself of the expectation that something you're about to do is going to be easy. And you know, if you do that and it's not easy, then you're not surprised. You know, there's no disappointment, no surprise. It's what you expected. And like you said, you'll be pleasantly surprised when it is easy. Right. So, and that's a pleasant surprise to have, you know, but you can't have that pleasant surprise if you're going into it thinking it's easy. In fact, you have the reverse, the disappointment when it's not easy. So,
That's one thing my kids, both of them, struggle with is this idea that if they really want to do something, it should be fun all the time. that's a hard lesson they're learning, that just because you know this is something you really like doesn't mean it's going to be easy the whole time.
Yeah, no, 100%. Couldn't agree more. You know, and as parents, you know, one thing we kind of learn, I've learned this as a father, is there's different types of realities that we have to teach our kids or show our kids, right? One of them that you mentioned, we just talked about a minute ago, was the fact that we as parents, even though, you know, we provide the boundaries for you and, you know, what you can and can't do and guide you and so forth, we get things wrong too. And we don't do it on purpose. We get things wrong. We're still trying to improve ourselves, you know, and we don't always get it right. And to me, that's a shot of reality, I think, that all parents should share with their children, because, you know, they can go out in the world now knowing that, hey, it's not just kids that make mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, adults as well. And it sets them up for when they become adults and when they have children, that, you know, they know they're going to make mistakes too, because they were told from their parents when they were little, you know. So that's one reality, one piece of reality. The other piece of reality is what you just mentioned, you know, about anything we start to do or embark on doing, we should be having fun. So that's another kind of reality, I guess, we have to kind of help our or guide our children to discover, you know, where, no, not everything you're going to do is going to be fun. You know, especially as you get older, you know, you're going to wish you were on the beach throwing a frisbee or football when you are getting up in the middle of December going to work, shoveling out of snow wherever you live, you know, or, you know, if you live up north or something, you'll be in one place wishing you were in another. I mean, that's the reality of it. It's not always going to be fun. So I think it's best for children to learn sooner than later. Otherwise you have this kind of warped expectation, I guess, as you get older, that can kind of do more harm than good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And another thing that we've been trying to teach the kids is, and it's one of those things you asked earlier about, you know, about being a man.
Yeah.
And another thing I really think is important about being a man. And so, I mean, you have to teach it, you know, when
you do,
kids are young,
yeah,
is the idea of responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that's really important to me. And I'm sure it was modeled by my dad in particular.
Yeah.
That if, like, first of all, you don't get to pick all of your responsibilities to start with, you know, like,
right.
Like some responsibilities just get put on you.
Yep.
and you accept those just like the ones you wanted. You know, you the ones that you didn't ask for but are put on you, yep. put just as much importance on those as the one you chose. And and so there's plenty of responsibilities that that I didn't ask for, but you know, that's just what you do. And so
yeah, you do that for sure. And me, I'm a hopeless optimist. To me, there's always that silver lining, you know, the cup is always half full. And I say that, Clay, because in my view, you know, responsibilities that are placed or put on you, or like put on me when I was younger growing up, part of me felt like whoever or however the universe put the responsibility on me that I didn't ask for, there's something, either it's God telling me or it's the way the universe works, saying that I'm ready to take that responsibility. That's why, however it worked out in this world, that I got this, that I didn't ask for, you know, I'm going to take it as if I did ask for it, because someone determined somewhere, a higher power, that I was ready to take this on, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. I like that. That's, and that my wife uses the phrase, you know, cross to bear a lot. This is our cross to bear. This is my cross to bear. And, and that's kind of how I've always felt. Like, it's just, this is my responsibility. And like I said, some of them I asked for and I'm happy I have, and some of them I wish I didn't, but like you said, a higher power has decided that, that I'm ready for it, or I'm going to learn something from it, or somebody's going to get something out of it, even if, even if I don't, you know.
Yes. Another great point, Clay. There's something I'm to learn out of this, which is why it's given to me, right? Or someone else is going to benefit from this. That's part of the greater work that we don't see, you know, beyond our own horizon, right? Yeah, yeah, for sure. So one of the things that I heard you mention, not in this discussion, but in just some stuff I've read earlier, was that there's a way, or you have this belief that small daily choices can create long-term trust in the home. And I wanted to know if you can kind of break that down for us and maybe give us an example of what that means, so that, you know, all the men listening here can kind of put that into practice.
Sure. One thing that me and my wife do regularly, that's a very small practice, it takes 5 minutes sometimes, is we have this, it's called a temperature check, is actually what it's called, that we picked up from a marriage seminar that we went to in our local church.
Yeah.
And, it is just, I think there's 5 or 6 questions, and, you just, trying to think of the first one was, what are you grateful for, is the first, you know, is the first one. And, and so you just go back and forth about what you're grateful for, what you're looking forward to that day, several, you know, it's like I said, 5 or 6 of them. And it's, like I said, it takes 5 minutes. And so things like that. And, I have a schedule. I have a, actually on my, I was talking about my planner earlier. On my planner, it's a quarterly planner. I'll just pick a random day a month and put, you know, buy my wife flowers. And so that's something small. Actually, I go to Target and the flowers are like $8, you know, and I just go grab some flowers, and it surprises her every time, because it's just different. It's once a month, it's on a different day each month. And so there's no necessary schedule to it or whatever, but just little things like that, that, like today honestly, I was pretty busy. My wife called and she was like, "Can you bring me lunch?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll do it." Okay. You know, and a small little thing. It took me 30 minutes to run and grab lunch and take it to her. And if I could have easily been like, "I got this thing I need to do."
Right. Right.
But at the same time, at the top of those pillars is family, you know, and
that's right.
And so, yeah, it's just, like I said, these small daily things. With my kids, we started this, very new tradition. We were doing it about 2 weeks, that on days I pick them up from school, we go to the park for 30 minutes.
Very nice.
and just to get outside.
Yep.
To we've got 6 or 8 parks in town, so we went to 3 of them, mm-hmm. and just learning, you know, what they like at each one, what just being, and it really is, the point is to be outside.
Right. Right.
And so like I said, these daily actions where, and eventually what happens is it becomes this routine that they expect that they miss, where if I forget that we need to go to the park, or I feel like, well, I got this thing that's more urgent than the park, so, you know, I'm going to do this instead. Yeah. They'll be like, are we not going to go to the park? I'm like, it's become a thing that, you know, this created a relation, you know, deepening their relationship. These little things, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, you know.
Oh man. And you know, while they are small things for a few minutes, over time, especially when it becomes a habit and it's a routine, that stays with our children, man, forever. I mean, when they become adults, it's something they hold near and dear as a memory in their childhood with you. And it's something they want to carry on with their children. So, I mean, just that small act blows up to that, things that we see and know beyond that time, and things that we don't, you know, we've planted a seed, and it's those small actions, like you mentioned.
And it's a lot easier to get my children to tell me about how their day was when we're walking around a park, as opposed to sitting in a car on the drive home.
Oh yeah.
Easy. You know, it's, so it just naturally comes out. And so you're getting that connection that you were looking for, you know, cause I asked, you know, how was your day? It was fine. It was good.
Yeah.
Actually, I told them they can't say good. And so my son says fine. And my daughter says 7 on a scale of 1 to 10, you know? And so
I'm like, okay. Yeah.
There's so much more out of those park, you know,
situations
than that. Yeah.
You probably get a more open-ended response in how their day was, or maybe in some cases it comes to you unsolicited, you know? Yeah, man, that is awesome. These small things can just blow into just family traditions and routines that are done from generation to generation. And planting that seed is the key for us as the patriarchs, whether it's a routine that we do with our spouse, or something we do with our children early on. Right. So, I definitely have to commend you for those actions as well, Clay, and not just for the actions, because you're demonstrating it as the example, but in conveying and communicating the importance of doing those things to other men around the world, in your newsletter and in your community.
And I always try to give them something actionable to take away, because I could sort of reflect and pontificate all day long, but I'm
sure.
But when I read a newsletter and someone does that, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
So I always try to come up with something like an actual, you know, action they can take, that's, like I said, relatively simple.
Yeah.
Because there's so much complexity in the world. And I mean, complexity sounds good, but it's really hard to actually execute, you know. Simple is much easier to execute, obviously. And so,
yeah, hence one of your pillars.
Right.
So exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, you're very clear in telling them the actionable or call to action that you may have in your newsletter, you know, that they can apply in their lives with their families, right? With their spouse, with their children, with their coworkers, you know, whatever the case may be. This is absolutely extraordinary. Campfire Gentleman, Clay, how can the listeners connect with you, learn more about you, follow you, and learn more about Campfire Gentleman?
Everything is at campfiregentleman.com.
It's okay.
And that's a singular, as in a campfire gentleman.
Okay. Gotcha. A-N. Okay. Yeah.
And all the socials are the same thing. But my newsletter is, you can sign up for the newsletter. You can see blog posts at, campfiregentleman.com, and said that'll get you to an email you can send to me. And I'll read all of them and answer all of them. And, nothing brings me more joy than reading emails and answering them from these men.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And you know what? Equally, joy is brought to them by your demonstration, telling them that they're being heard. They're being heard. Campfire Gentlemen, we're going to make sure and have your socials as well as the web address all in the episode show notes so that the listeners can click on these, connect with you, follow you, subscribe to the newsletter, all the while listening to this wonderful conversation. Clay Garrett, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and unpacking the insights of the community you've built and important virtues and practices of a patriarch. Thank you again, Clay, for coming on the show. I hope we can stay in touch and maybe bring you on the show at a future date, sir.
Oh, that would be great. And thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure, man. We reciprocate. And hey, I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And look, you may feel like this at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, you're never alone. And hope is always around the corner. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. And you know, when it all comes down to it, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. But it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovered. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.